Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Update this Friday, a rundown of the day's main news, which tonight before 5.30 will include hearing that some Laxey homeowners are still struggling with insurance issues after the village floods more than 6 years ago. Also tonight, what would encourage you to leave your car at home? One MHK thinks there's a long way to go with the active travel strategy. There is hope in Peel that it will be re-energised by a development that's been given the go-ahead on the promenade. And we'll also hear about a fundraiser happening tomorrow, which is going to shine a light on men's mental health. All that, the weather, the traffic and travel, there is a yellow weather warning in place. We'll give you the details of that. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text us. It's 166 177. We'll start with the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The island's minimum wage committee has agreed not to recommend a proposed 9.9% increase in the rate. An uplift from £12.25 to £13.46 will be put before Tynwald members next week for approval. If given the go-ahead, it would come into force from the 1st of April next year. Whilst one MHK says the issue seems to be receding, some homeowners in Laxey say they're still having trouble securing home insurance for their properties following the 2019 floods. One Glen Road resident is calling on government to step in and do more.
We're stuck here. We can't sell a house without flood cover. So that alone, apart from paying higher things for no cover, is the upsetting thing about it. I mean, we agree that lots of money's been spent, but insurance companies locally and further afield are still unwilling to even have a conversation over cover. We need government to step in and help.
An MHK says there's a long way to go to increase the number of people using active travel and that the transport strategy doesn't cover this. Douglas Central member Chris Thomas will ask Tynwald to call for a report on the topic when it sits next week. And some local musicians are hoping to dispel some of the stigma surrounding men's mental health with a charity evening. They'll be performing at Sam Webb's in Douglas, and some will also be shaving their heads to raise money for Edspace. Further afield, Downing Street says Sir Keir Starmer was angered by the decision to ban Israeli fans from a football match in Birmingham and is working to change it. These people live there where the game is taking place.
I don't think it's fair if they're going to say don't come over, don't travel. What's the world coming to?
We're supporting Israel after all the actions they've been doing recently. I just think it's a bad idea.
I feel like they should be allowed to go because it's football. If they're doing something wrong, then they should be banned, you know what I mean?
Three neo-Nazis who plotted terrorist attacks on mosques and synagogues have been jailed for a combined 29 years. And King Charles will be the first British monarch to pray publicly with the Pope in 500 years. Along with Queen Camilla, he'll meet the new pontiff next Thursday as the pair visit Vatican City. They're your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So this evening, it'll stay dry. It'll be the same overnight. Generally light breezes until later. Minimum temperature will be around 9. Tomorrow, pretty cloudy, a freshening southeast wind, top temperatures of 14, and then outbreaks of rain will arrive later in the evening tomorrow. That will become persistent and heavier overnight into Sunday. And we do have a yellow weather warning that comes into force at 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. That's until 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. So the general situation will be that area of rain will move in from the west overnight into Sunday, persistent and heavy at times. It will clear through on Sunday afternoon. They're expecting around 15 to 25 millimetres in most places. Higher ground could see up to 25 to 50 millimetres. There is likely to be some surface water flooding in prone locations, especially if drains are blocked from fallen leaves, so do take care. There is some advice on the fire service page this evening just about how to prepare for that heavy rain, and we will of course keep you up to date with it all throughout the weekend here on Manx Radio. Sunset this evening 6.17, sunrise tomorrow morning 7.51.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture. and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill. The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio, 5:30 past five. We understand that there is an issue on Prospect Hill at the moment and it's been closed off by police. There is a police car, we believe, blocking the road at the junction by Colburns. We'll try and find out more details on that. But if you are travelling home that way, it's something to be aware of. Now, some homeowners in Laxey say they're still facing issues with home insurance after the floods 6 years ago, despite others reporting that the problem isn't as bad as it was. Now, since the 1st of October 2019, many have had to negotiate excesses of up to £5,000 or aren't provided with cover at all. Early this week, the Garth MHK Andrew Smith told us that in his experience, he'd been finding it a little bit easier to secure insurance. But Glen Road resident Jill Cumber says she still can't get covered and she's calling on government to do more.
We've lived here for just coming up to 12 years in the next few weeks. And since then, there's been two major floods in 10 years.
What was the impact on your home?
Well, the first one, we had a very high claim and a high second claim. So this has made it untouchable by insurance companies with no support to help us navigate this. And it's impacted us immeasurably. We're stuck here. We can't sell a house without flood cover. So that alone, apart from paying higher things for no cover, is the upsetting thing about it. I mean, we agree that lots of money's been spent on the river and drainage, but, and it's a big but, insurance companies locally and further afield are still unwilling to even have a conversation over cover. So we currently have no flood cover, but we're still paying an astronomical premium, paying back what the insurance company spent on us, I presume. But when does that end? So we need government to step in and help homeowners build a business case for covering us. We all completely understand that they can't force private businesses to insure us, but they could help us to present a case for cover, given all that they have spent on trying to make Laxey a safe place to live in. Or, failing that, they could deliver on the promise made to provide access to the flood re-scheme that they have in the UK, as they committed to do following the independent flood report commissioned after the 2019 flood, or create their own flood re-scheme. It's, everything's just on hold for everybody. Oh, it's miserable. It's absolutely miserable.
That is Glen Road resident Jill Cumber talking to us there. We have contacted government for comment and they are working on a response for us. Much more to this story on the Manx Radio website. We also spoke to Kestrel Insurance, an insurance broker here on the island. Among their statement, they say there are still some challenges when it comes to providing home insurance in parts of Laxey, mainly because of the area's history with flooding and how close some properties are to the river. The flood defences that were put in place after the 2019 floods have made a big difference and really help us, they say, when we're having conversations with insurers who are open to it. They've given us something solid to point to, but even so, some providers do remain cautious. Some will decline cover purely based on proximity to water, while others focus more on past claims, so it's not always consistent. So that is part of the statement from Kestrel Insurance, which you can find on the Manx Radio website. We understand Prospect Hill is open. Some people who've just called in to say that they've driven through there, but just take care in that area. There's clearly been something going on earlier today. It's coming up to 9 minutes past five. And MHK says there's a long way to go to increase the number of people using active travel and that the transport strategy just doesn't cover this. The Douglas Central member Chris Thomas will ask Timwell to call for a report on the topic when it sits next week. He's been talking to Sian.
We used to have a strategy. It expired in 2021. It's assumed to still be in place when planning decisions are made, when funding decisions are made, when the transport strategy is coming forward to Timwell to be received. It's assumed to be in place there. For instance, we're talking about 20-minute villages or 20-minute neighbourhoods, 15 minutes sometimes. We're talking about encouraging most people to walk from urban area place to another urban area place, it seems, in some documents I've seen. And we need to actually understand whether government is serious about that and whether government does think that one in two of us who live in urban areas will actually make active travel as our way of commuting.
There is significant mention of active travel in the transport strategy that's due to be debated at this month's sitting. Does that address the issues that you have raised with this motion?
Not at all. So when we get to the last page, the one describing the outcomes, it talks of most people preferring in urban areas to use active travel. The last census, I think it was about 14-15% of people actually walk to work. So there's a long way between 15% and most people. How we're going to do it is just completely not covered in that transport strategy, and there are many more gaps. For instance, you know, Manx Utilities knows how to produce the amount of electricity that we need at the moment, but I would have thought Manx Utilities need from the transport strategy an idea about how many electric vehicles there will be, both in the bus fleet, the car fleet, and the private under private ownership, taxes as well, so that they can work out where they need to supply the electricity for another element of the transport strategy.
Douglas Central MHK, Chris Thomas talking to Sian. Well, the Department of Infrastructure says the transport strategy is overarching and will be supported by additional plans such as bus and rail. It goes on to say these are currently in development and will help the government realise its aim of delivering an inclusive, safe and sustainable transport system which will meet the needs of the Manx people. 11 and a half minutes past five. Now, a Douglas law firm has raised serious concerns about the island's proposed area plan for the north and west, which is due before Tynwald next week. Simcox Advocates, acting on behalf of Baccarat Limited, has written to all members of Tynwald outlining its objections. Christian has been taking a look at this and joins me now. Fastamai, Christian. First of all, would you just talk us through what all this is about, please?
Yeah, Fastamai, Beth. So the letter argues that the plan is fundamentally undeliverable and based on outdated information. Simcox says the government hasn't updated its national infrastructure strategy since 2018, meaning that issues like road congestion, drainage and public services haven't actually been properly accounted for.
And I understand they've also raised questions about how the plan was put together as well.
Yeah, that's right. The firm claims there's been a lack of independence throughout the process with the Cabinet Office both drafting the plan and running the public inquiry into it. They say that creates a conflict of interest, especially as the inquiry's legal advice has come from the Attorney General's chambers, which obviously is government controlled rather than an independent law firm.
OK, would you just briefly be able to tell us then what happens next?
Yeah, so Tynwald is expected to vote on the plan during next week's sitting, as you said. This letter has been circulated to all MHKs and all MLCs, so whether any of them take these concerns on board and vote accordingly is something that only time will tell. But we have approached the government for a comment. We haven't heard back yet, but the Cabinet Office will likely be under pressure to respond to the concerns and formulate a next step, because if there's one thing we know, it's that the content of this letter could be discussed in Tynwald next week. So it will undoubtedly need to work out how it's going to proceed and likely defend the process behind what is actually one of its key documents.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. 13 minutes past five, and Manx Utilities is seeing an increasing trend when it comes to renewable energy over here. It says many people are privately installing means of generation multiple times larger than their demand. The finance director, Simon Clegg, has been talking in front of the Tynwald Environment and Infrastructure Policy Review Committee.
What we've seen in the last few years is whilst we've always tried to help customers install renewable generation, private generation, which matches their requirements, because of things like the reduction in cost of solar panels and the equipment which goes with it, we've seen customers installing generation which is multiple times larger than their demand. So on the one hand, we're having to pay more for energy than we can buy on the market, despite it not really being any more valuable to us. And then on the other hand, we're having bigger fluctuations in power flows on the network because somebody who's installing a solar array four times larger than they actually need during the summer will be exporting quite a lot of energy to us because they won't be using it. But then in terms of network planning, come the winter, it won't be exporting very much at all. And so whereas historically we've been quite good at predicting customer demand and how to how much electricity we have to buy every day, either from the power station or from the UK, it's now much harder to predict because people are probably putting a bit extra on because of our export rate.
That is Manx Utilities Finance Director Simon Clegg, who is talking to the Timwald Environment and Infrastructure Policy Review Committee.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing to report on the police page is that earlier incident on Prospect Hill, we understand, is all sorted out now. There are temporary lights on Tramode Road near Douglas Avenue, also on Braddon Road, just up from Brabham Bridge. Between St Jude's and Andreas until December, there are rolling closures on the Andreas Road. That's for water main replacement work. And the Mountain Road, it was going to reopen on Monday. That is now going to be no later than 6 p.m. next Thursday. Businesses on the mountain open as normal. All okay down at the airport, and the Manxman due into Douglas just before 5:30, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15, and the Mananan on its way to Liverpool, getting there about 5:30 and heading back at the same time, 7:15.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
16 minutes past five. Peel commissioners say it's really positive that the plans for a new community facility on Marine Parade have been approved. Chair Ray Harmer says the development should re-energise the town and the far end of the promenade.
It's great because I know initially there were problems in getting the approval, so to get it all the way through and to get, I think it was unanimous in the planning committee, it's really positive.
What kinds of things it will entail? Because I know there was a little bit of backwards and forwards about between the board about what it might have.
Yes, so now we can, what it can mean, we can actually move forward and we can develop the ideas and all the things and get something really quite exciting for the end of the prom. We're also, obviously, it's a new board, so we've got loads of new ideas. So, yeah, I'm really quite excited about how we can move forward with this.
How important do you think is it for that end of the promenade to have some new kind of development going into it?
I think it's really important that we re-energise that side, because when you have all the parts working together, then you're going to have the sewage sorted very shortly. Things will start gaining momentum very quickly. It will really become a seafront that's full in the summer and also still used all year round.
And how important do you think will it be for residents of Peel just in general to have something new come into the town?
I think it gives that bit of energy. It creates energy, creates a buzz, and it creates new opportunities. Things tend to build with momentum, so I always think momentum is really, really important.
And you voted in the meeting there to flatten. I think that's the phrase that was used. So is this process sort of starting now, or are you expecting it to sort of start in the new year?
So that will happen over winter, and then that will allow us to get all the detail and get all the other elements together to then push that forward as well. It does take time, I have to say. It won't all happen in one day. So first things first is we need to flatten the existing building so it can move forward.
That is Chair of the Commissioners Ray Harmer talking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper. Now, seeking medical intervention at an early stage is a vital factor in achieving the best possible outcome from a breast cancer diagnosis. It's a key message from consultant of public health, Dr. Ross Keith, this October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. He and Sandy Denning from the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association have been talking to Simon, with Sandy starting by outlining some of the more common symptoms you need to look out for.
Some of the signs that you need to look out for breast cancer are a lump or swelling in the breast, so upper chest or armpit. Have a good check round or the neck area. Any skin changes? Can you see any puckering or dimpling? So similar to the peel of an orange is what you would see in that case. Any change in colour? Can you see any redness or inflammation? Any nipple changes? Has the nipple become inverted? If that's not normal for you, then that's a sign to look out for. A rash or crusting around the nipple area. Any unusual liquid, a discharge from either nipple. Changes in breast size or shape as well. Now, pain in your breast is not usually a sign of breast cancer on its own, but if it's a persistent pain, then it can be a symptom, especially in the armpit. So, be vigilant with that and make sure you check yourself on a regular basis.
Now, Ross, it's also a disease that can affect men. I think this is often overlooked, particularly, of course, by men.
Well, I think that's exactly it. Men will think that breast cancer is not a condition that can necessarily affect them. data would indicate that it is about 1% of breast cancer diagnoses. So between 2011 and 2021, there were 8 men on the island who had a breast cancer diagnosis. So obviously that's less than 1 a year, but that doesn't mean that men shouldn't be aware. And there are certain men who might be more at risk. So genetic component, if you are from a family with a strong genetic BRCA risk, you are more likely to develop breast cancer as a man. And also those who have a higher estrogen load. So that can include, you know, men who are overweight, for example, the risk is higher. So it's similar in terms of being aware of any changes for what is normal in terms of your chest, and same signs and symptoms that Sandy has just run through, discharge, orange peel appearance, etc. That's what you need to be looking out for.
That's Dr. Ross Keaton. Before that, Sandy Denning. Now, the Isle of Man has an opportunity to see an end to smoking cigarettes within the current generation. The Director of Public Health and the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Matt Tyra, says smoking rates are continuing to decline, falling from 10% in 2022 to around 7% of the population in 2024. Dr. Tyra has been talking to Howard Kane as part of the Stoptober campaign in the latest My Health Matters podcast.
The real challenge with smoking, it remains the single biggest driver of preventable ill health. It affects every part of the body. Obviously, most people will be aware of its effect on the lungs, but it has an effect on the heart, the brain, the blood vessels, and just every bit of the body is affected. So consequently, for everyone that quits smoking, the impact that they can make on their own health and the health of their community and their family can be really significant. Ultimately, tobacco and tobacco smoking takes away people's choice over what they're able to do. It's so addictive. And that means that it is still a significant killer. It fuels illnesses, and it particularly affects people on the lowest incomes. And I think that that's a really unfair position that people have been put in by the tobacco industry. I think it's really, really key to emphasise that tobacco as a product that is on our shelves, if used exactly as instructed on a packet of cigarettes, it will kill 2/3 of its users. There's no other product that is out there as a for something that people can buy that has that level of direct harm to people. So not only is it 2/3 of people who use it will die as a result of using it as intended, but all of the potential knock-on consequences to their day-to-day health, their likely need for hospital and medical services, the likelihood of them needing support from social care in later life, and not enjoying the number of years without a health problem that had tobacco not been something which took away some of those choices that they should have been entitled to through a normal, healthy life. So I think we've got a real opportunity to see the end of smoking and to make smoking obsolete within this generation.
That's the Director of Public Health and Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Matt Tyra. Now, a charity event tomorrow is hoping to shine a light on men's mental health. A group of musicians are going to be performing at Sam Webb's in Douglas, and some will also be shaving their heads. And it's to raise money for the local charity Edspace, which really tries to dispel the stigma surrounding mental health. Steve Nash and Tom Baker have organised the event.
We all need it. We've all been to a place where we need to reach out to someone and talk to, and we don't always have that.
For you both, what helps you with your own mental health?
For myself, and I think Tom's very similar in the way we look at things, certainly the music scene on the Isle of Man is a massive, massive element of a very supportive area for mental health as well. So in bringing everybody together in a music environment, it's a great sort of way of bringing communities in together, raising awareness, and using music for us is a great way of getting our feelings out, in essence. There's still that masculinity and fear of, as a guy, is going to somebody and saying, I'm not feeling well, I'm upset. There's still that whole facade of blokes don't cry, blokes don't put their feelings out. And we need to be better as society to understand, to be there. And if somebody does open up, it's to listen. And listen is one of the major, major parts of helping people with mental health.
The fundraising event then, it's on the 18th of October.
Yep.
And you're also, I'm looking at you with your beautiful curly hair at the moment, because it's not going to be there for much longer, is it?
No, it is not. I did this 2 years ago, and most of the island who probably know me know I had dreadlocks that are down past my hips. I thought, you know what, it's getting out of control again, so let's have some fun and do some fun with it.
So how many of you are shaving your heads?
At the current minute, there's 5 men, potentially 2 or 3 more. And also, I'm waiting to hear back from 2 ladies who might be bearing it all with us.
So for anyone who wants to come down, get involved, just remind us of the details.
It's Sam Webb's, and it starts off about 6 p.m. and we've got an array of local musicians playing. Our host of the evening is the very wonderful Vincent Finery, and head shave should be round about just after 10:30.
If anybody hears this that fancies a free head shave, wants to come down and get involved as well, please do. The more the merrier. The more eyes we can put on this, the better.
Oh, that is Tom Baker and Steve Nash talking about that event happening tomorrow at Sam Webb's. They're going to be there from around 6 p.m. So if you fancy a head shave, Rob Pritchard, that is a place to go tomorrow.
I don't think the head shave would last too long with regards to my modest hairline.
Sport, though, lots happening.
Indeed, especially going into the weekend, because first off, the battles for supremacy at the top of the Canada Life Men's Premier League and Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 are hotting up in Manx football going into the latest weekend of fixtures. In the top flight, just 2 points separate the leading trio of Corinthians, Laxey and Onken. Corinthians lead the way and they'll host St Mary's tomorrow. Elsewhere, second place Laxey, just 1 point further back, travel to Foxdale, and third place Onken, who sit just 2 points away from the summit, head to Braddon. All of Saturday's senior men's matches will get underway at 2:30 p.m, with the exception of St Mary's versus Corinthians in Canada Life Combination 1, which will kick off at the earlier time of 1:45. You can view a full schedule of this weekend's Alabama football fixtures at manxradio.com. Meanwhile, 3 weeks on from their last home contest, FC Alabama return to the bowl in Douglas in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend to face FC St Helens. The Manx side, fresh from a much-needed win last time out, face an FC St Helens squad currently pushing for a place in the top five. Should FC Alabama manage back-to-back victories for the first time this season this weekend, 3 points could take them as many as 7 points clear of the relegation zone. FC Alabama versus FC St Helens kicks off tomorrow night at the bowl at 6 p.m. and Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. In rugby, 3 island sides are on home soil for their latest league encounters. Douglas could go as high as third in Regional 2 North West if they beat Northwich at Portishead tomorrow afternoon. Elsewhere on Saturday, Vagabonds and Ramsey are at home in Counties 3 ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire against Oral and Ormskirk respectively. Vagabonds ladies will be on the road at Crewe and Nantwich in Women's NC2 North South. And in hockey, this weekend sees the first Mixed Cup competition matches of 2025 take place. Arguably the standout tie is in the Mixed Cup, where there's a battle of the titans between rivals Backers A and Vikings A. The first round clashes in the Mixed Cup, Mixed Plate and Mixed Bowl will get underway from 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. You can find details of tomorrow's hockey fixtures on our website.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Well, that is pretty much all from Update this evening. Thank you, as ever, for your company. With regards to the weather over the weekend, we will keep you up to date on both on air and online as well. So if there's anything to let you know about, any cancellations and anything, always get in touch with us and we're happy to let anybody know. That yellow weather warning coming into force 1 a.m. on Sunday. Coming up next, Rob will be here with the Friday Sport Preview, so giving you a few more details about what's coming up this weekend. Then it's Greatest Hits with Michelle Kane from 6 at 9. It's Sweet and Swing with Howard Kane, and Rhiann will be with you with After Hours from 10 p.m. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a lovely one, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.